Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Don Feit, a retired priest of the Diocese of Youngstown. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Tim. Glad to be with you again today.
Yes, sir. Good to have you here. We're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. And last time we talked about sin. Today we're going to talk a little bit about virtue. What is virtue?
All right. That's a thank God that we're capable of virtues, huh? Virtue, it's going to be, whereas a sin, we said, you know, is something we're doing against what is good for us, what is against God's will for us. A virtue is something that is, it's a disposition to the good. It's wanting to do and growing in the habitual disposition of doing what's good. And it's something that's becoming strong in us, firm, you know. Virtue has to be practiced on a regular basis.
Wouldn't you say that a good way to live your life is to ask the question every morning when we first get up, is this pleasing to God? Is what I'm doing, is what I'm thinking, is what I'm saying, is it pleasing to God?
That's right. And especially whenever you're faced with a little decision here, you know, well, I could do this, I could do that, but what would God want of me? You know, that's the one question that Mother Mary, we see her as one who was totally at the disposal of God. What do you want of me, Lord? You know, and she said yes. And we want to do the same.
Okay. Well, there's two types of virtues. There's human virtues and theological virtues. Let's talk today about the human virtues, or as the Catechism calls them, the cardinal virtues. What are those, Father?
Well, there's only four cardinal virtues, but there's many human virtues, okay? The cardinal virtues are sort of at the top of the pile, you know, and all others in some way flow from them, I think. So that's why they're called cardinal, Tim, because I remember when we learned our Latin in the seminary that the word cardinal came from cardo, which means like a hinge. You know, a door won't hang well unless it's on hinges. And so our life doesn't hang well unless it's hinged by those four cardinal virtues. But there are many others, too, that are human virtues. So let me just mention a few of them in passing so we don't miss them. But just think of people. You know, so many people tell me, well, I'm not a believer in God, but I think I'm a good person, you know. And the reason they think they are is because they do practice some of the natural virtues. They work hard at being compassionate people. They take their work responsibly. They do have a sense of duty about them. They're basically honest people. You can have the natural virtue of being loyal, being a good friend, and being a faithful friend. You can be persistent with something, you know, that you've set out to do. And so all those are examples of human virtues. But let's look then at these four that are called the cardinal virtues. Huh? They are, to name them, prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Those are the four cardinal virtues. And everything else hinges on those four. If you're practicing them pretty well, all those other things. But, you know, these are not supernatural. They, if God is working with you, they flow from your nature as a human being that you can be these. So maybe you want to talk about them in particular, huh?
Well, let's start with prudence. What is prudence?
Okay. It's one of these virtues that disposes you to be able to discern well what you're doing, that it's the right thing to do, you know. Prudence is that sense of this is good, this is right, this is just for this circumstance. Huh? It's where I should be going right now with my life. And so it sort of guides all the other virtues by setting the rule, the measure of what my conscience really calls me to do.
And with that, and that was going to be my next question. Would prudence be dependent on a well-formed conscience?
Oh, sure. It really needs that.
To be able to know right from wrong.
It's the strength to keep your eyes, sort of like the Seder that follows that North Star in the old days, you know. Mm-hmm. You need to have a North Star in your life, see. And prudence is that sense that God is calling me to do this. The opposite, I would think, of prudence is to just be an impulsive person. Just do whatever, you know, you feel like doing at the moment. You might luck out sometimes and do the right thing, but many times our impulses are not prudent at all. So prudence is that sense that I'm called to discern what is the truth in this circumstance. What will help make this a good scenario? What's going to be the beautiful thing to do here? You know, that's all part of prudence. Huh? So I think people who are prudent, they make decisions that other people may not think about too much. It's not, for example, when you get married, you know, most people know that that there's a gift of children that normally comes with having being married and starting a family. But when do you do that? Do you start right away? You need prudence to start thinking about such things, you know, so you don't act on the impulse of how much money's in our checking account right now, things like that. So all decisions, you know, suppose you become aware that something's happened in the community and you're all riled up about it. But prudence will help you decide whether or not it's really possible for me and I'm able to do something about that. And I've seen people do some wonderful things because they exercise their prudence.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The second one, justice. What is justice?
Justice, again, that's one of our human virtues that consists in it's a steady, constant will, a strong will, to give to God what God deserves, but also to give to your neighbor what your neighbor deserves. So justice can be toward God, and then we call that a virtue of religion. We owe God worship. We owe God respect, so we don't use his name irreverently. So the commandments are calling us to practice justice. Huh? But justice is not only toward God, we also owe our neighbor certain things. Huh? I may not like you, Tim, but you know, if you're a neighbor that aggravates me for some reason, but I owe you respect.
But you do like me though, right, Father?
I do. but even if I didn't, Tim, I'm still going to want to respect you. You know, I'm going to want to be honest with you. So I'm going to want to be fair to you. If I'm your boss and I owe you a certain amount of money for your pay, you know, that's justice. If you've worked for it, you get it. And that's all part of the human virtue. It's a moral virtue. Moral meaning it's right, it's good to give people what we owe them.
Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be safe to say that both prudence and justice is doing the right thing.
That's right. Yeah.
And I think what's interesting is by doing the right thing for others as well as to God, we are the ones that actually benefit. Again, just like going to church, I like to keep bringing this up because a lot of people go out of obligation, but actually, if you put something into it, you're going to get more out of worshiping God than God is. God doesn't become greater because we worship
right.
him. We become greater because we become more like God and we become closer to God.
Yeah, we grow in our love, you know. The virtues are, maybe we should talk too about that next one, fortitude, huh? Because fortitude, Tim, is that ability to persist with something, you know. You mentioned going to church. We have an obligation not just to give God our thanks and our praise once in a while, but to stick with it. There's a firmness, even when life gets tough. When you know we're it'd be so easy just to lay back and say no, this can wait. My shopping can wait. My work can wait. First, I want to give God. You know, so fortitude is that moral virtue that ensures that I stick with it when it gets tough. It strengthens my resolve to resist the temptation to, oh, put things off. There are obstacles to being a prudent person, a just person, and fortitude helps me to overcome those obstacles, my laziness or my what we talked about yesterday when we said there are certain vices that are always going to pull us down. Fortitude is that courage that you might say to face it head on and say, no, I have to resolve to make whatever sacrifices it takes to do what is good and right and just.
And the Catechism says that fortitude reaches even to the ability of possibly sacrificing one's own life for a just cause.
That's right.
And yeah. We had spoken last week with Father Mancini about the martyrs, that just to proclaim themselves as lovers and followers of Jesus or to go to a mass, you were risking your life because if you got caught, you would be killed.
That's right. Are we ready to be martyrs? I've preached about that before, too. We don't know when at any moment God is going to ask more of us than we ever expected to give. But that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Even though these are called natural virtues, I don't think we're going to get too far practicing them without the help of the Holy Spirit.
I think everything that we are and everything that we're able to do is by the grace of God.
That's right.
And God is so full of love. Again, we talked about that he's overflowing with love. And again, you're right. We're not going to get very far in anything unless we look to the Holy Spirit to guide us in those.
That's right.
The last of the four cardinal virtues is temperance. What is temperance?
Temperance. I'm laughing a little bit because I remember back hearing that when my grandfather was a child, there was a great movement in our country called the temperance movement, and that was to get control of one's drinking of alcoholic beverages to an excess. Some people have trouble with that and can become even addicted to alcohol. So the temperance movement, that word comes from the moral virtue that is my effort to moderate what can be pleasurable. It's good. Within limits. Prudence says you've got to be a temperate person. I have to moderate my eating or any care of the body. I think we're living in a culture where some people, if their skin isn't a certain hue, you know, a certain tan on it, they get really upset and worried. But we need to moderate all these pleasures of life, and there has to be a certain balance in the way we use things in this world. We all have instincts that are good. It's a good thing to enjoy a meal, but you got to keep it under moderation too. You know, there comes a time when I know I'm eating too much.
I don't know about you, Father, but I find several times throughout the day that I'm my own worst enemy, and I keep asking myself to have that control.
And I know, so for other people, it's not food, it's shopping for things. You know, they go in a store and I don't really need this, but maybe someday I will. So,
okay, you know, great.
We have to be temperate.
All right, Father. Well, Father Don Fite, I want to thank you for joining us today and going over those virtues. And next time we'll talk about the supernatural or the theological virtues.
Okay.
This has been Tim Perry, your host. I want to thank you for joining us as we cover the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, the UCAT. Until next time, may God bless you.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.